Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the World of Ink Network. Founded in 2011 by Virginia Grenier and Marcia Casper Cook, their vision was to start a radio show that helps authors reach their dreams. The World of Ink Network has a wonderful group of hosts who are also authors and dedicated to delivering shows to entertain and inspire listeners. The World of Ink Network shares resources that introduce tips, products, and services to help strengthen, support, and challenge those who love writing and the written word. Their hope is to bring not only authors, illustrators, and publishers together, but screenwriters, directors, and producers. New to the network will be a variety of special shows bringing not only entertainment but informative discussions on timely subjects. To learn more about us, go to www.worldofinknetwork.com or visit us on our Facebook and Twitter pages. Thank you for your support and enjoy the show.
Okay, hi everyone. Welcome to It's Storytime. I'm author and illustrator J.D. Holliday. It's Storytime can be listened to live at blogtalkradio.com/worldofinknetwork at showtime, like now, or you can listen to it on demand at any time you like at the same address. We have two stories for you today, and it's Charlene the Star and Bentley Bulldog by Deanie Humphreys Dunn, and The Passover Surprise by Janet Ruth Heller. But unfortunately, we don't have book picks today, and Aggie's under the weather, but hopefully in the future you'll hear from her again. First, we have Charlene the Star and Bentley Bulldog by Deanie Humphreys Dunn. Hi, Deanie. I'm so glad you can make it today.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me. I'm so excited to be part of your show today.
Well, I'm glad you could make it today. Now, tell us about Charlene the Star and Bentley Bulldog.
Well, Charlene the Star and Bentley Bulldog is part of my series of books, and Charlene the Star and the animals tell the story, and my sister Holly Humphreys Bajaj does all the adorable pictures for all of our books, and she also drew the covers. And in this story, Charlene the Star makes new friends, and she also has to figure out how to cheer up her chicken friends because something terrible happens and her friend Hattie the chicken gets so upset she nearly faints when she reads the headline in the paper. So it's a funny story, and the animals also tell you their thoughts. So, for example, in the beginning, it's Charlene the Star is thinking, and she's introducing herself.
Go right
ahead. So that's how it starts. And the first chapter is called The Bully, and starts like this. Hi, I'm Charlene the Star. I'm kicking up my heels while Mary's riding me. I'm excited. I'm preparing for a big jumping competition in a few weeks. I live at Jumping for Joy Farms. I love jumping, but I was getting flabby from not practicing during my vacation. It could be I'm a little chubby from too many peppermint candies Mary gives me when I do something well. Last year, I won the Green Jumper Championship at the Sterling Horse Show. This year, I want to win the award for the best jumper in the whole state of Kentucky. Mary's galloping me toward the In-N-Out jump. I need to pay attention because there are only one or two strides between the two jumps, and if we don't measure them right, we'll be in trouble. Mary uses her long legs to help me adjust my stride before the jumps. We're in, and we took one nice long stride, and we're out. We were perfect. Mary's patting my pretty red coat, so I know she's happy with my work. I see a funny-looking dog sitting next to the ring. He barked at me, so I stopped to look at him. He's plump with wrinkles, and he has a pouty face. Charlene, you stopped so quickly you almost made me fall off, Mary said. I bumped my chin against your neck. You even made my riding hat bounce around on my head. What's going on? Maybe you wanted to say hello to the dog who's watching us jump. I've never seen him before. He's wearing a colorful collar and tag that says his name is Bentley. I wonder if he wants to stay here, said Mary. We'll have to advertise to find his owners. He doesn't have a big head or big brindle spots like Elliot does, but he's still a rather handsome dog. My friends and I talk to other animals, but we don't talk to people. Mary's walking me or cooling me off before we go back to the barn. That's important because if she put me back in the barn when I was sweaty, I could get sick. Charlene, here's what we're going to do. Fix your dinner, feed Elliot and Bentley. I'll put the dishes outside the door for Elliot and our visitor. Nice job today, Charlene, even though you gave me extra excitement when you stared at the new dog, said Mary. Elliot, can you chat with Bentley? He doesn't seem too friendly. Perhaps he'd rather get acquainted with you first, said Charlene. Of course, Charlene. But first, I'm going across the street to escort Hattie the chicken so she can meet Bentley. I give her rides on my back to keep her safe. It's hard to see her when she's crossing the street, even though she always wears her bonnet. I'm really hungry, but it's important to think of Hattie. She'll be hopping around with excitement when she meets Bentley, said Elliot. I have to look both ways carefully before I cross the street. I love protecting Hattie. She's such a special little chicken, and she's talented as well. Hi, Charlene, said Hattie as she carefully hopped off Elliot's back. I had to adjust my pretty red bonnet in case it got jostled during my ride on Elliot. Who's the new dog? Asked Hattie, jumping around, flapping her wings with excitement. Bentley jumped in front of her, sticking his head in front of Hattie's face. I'm Bentley. It's silly to see a chicken wearing a bonnet, Bentley said, laughing loudly. Chickens can't do anything. Have you ever heard of anyone talking about a chicken's outstanding skills? No. Nobody even mentions them unless they're on the dinner menu. Excuse me, but chickens, with or without bonnets, deserve respect, Hattie answered. You have no reason to laugh at me. Yes, I do have abilities. For example, I'm a good organizer with neat beakmanship. It's like handwriting. My beakmanship helped us win the Coaches of the Year award. My friends and I worked as a team. We showed people we could accomplish amazing things together. Hattie was so upset the feathers on her back stood straight up. She stared into Bentley's eyes. By the way, are you a professional bully? You're good at bullying, but I wouldn't be proud of that if I were you. You should also know I love wearing bonnets because they make me feel special. Hattie ruffled her red feathers in frustration. Bentley, you need to learn some manners. He's the rudest animal I've ever met. I'm sorry, Hattie, but my mom was too busy to teach me good manners. I had 7 siblings. I'm terribly embarrassed, said Bentley, covering his face with his paws. Hattie, I'm proud of you for standing up to Bentley when he teased you. You were remarkably brave. I was ready to come to your rescue, but you did a great job on your own, said Elliot. I'm lucky Bentley didn't say anything about my oversized head. Maybe it's because his is quite large, too. Thank you, Elliot. Earlier today, I was wondering what to do if standing up to a bully like Bentley doesn't work. Do you have any ideas? Asked Hattie. Hattie, remember what a special chicken you are. Then unkind words won't hurt you. Elliot, you shared excellent advice. Now mean words won't hurt my feelings, said Hattie. I can't wait for dinner. I worked up an appetite. Escorting Hattie. Mary always mixes it up just right, whether I get vegetables with rice dog food or something else. Bentley is standing in front of my dinner. He doesn't look like he intends to move soon. Maybe he's applying for squatter's rights. That's permission to stay if you are the first one to claim the property. I'll try the polite approach, Elliot thought. Bentley, I'm hungry. You're interrupting my dinner hour. Would you mind moving aside so I can have my meal? You're welcome to the other food, said Elliot, hoping to end the standoff. I eat every dinner in sight. How do you think I got my stout shape? Replied Bentley, patting his round tummy. I've always practiced my bullying skills. No one ever challenged me. Bentley, we have rules here. We only eat what belongs to us. I could say more about your horrid manners, but I'll keep quiet and set a good example. It looks like he's going to be reasonable. Thankfully, there's no need for a new plan. I'm completely befuddled for the first time in my life. No one ever stood up to me before. I've always been a bully, but I haven't been a happy dog. Maybe it's time to change my ways. My apologies, Elliot. I'm grateful for the other dinner, and you're welcome to yours, said Bentley, covering his face. I thought the words would get stuck in my throat, but they sounded pretty good. Nothing bad happened either. Jumping around. Good morning, Charlene, said Mary, brushing strands of blonde hair away from her forehead. Tomorrow's the big day when we're competing in the Sterling Club Horse Show. This time, we're entering the open jumper classes, so the competition will be tough. We've worked hard to make sure we're ready. Of course, Elliot will come to keep you calm, and Bentley will join us. It's a shame no one answered our ad looking for his owners, but he seems to be settling in well here. I see Eva, my groom, walking into the barn. She takes care of me. She wants to be sure I look spectacular for the big day tomorrow. She'll braid my mane, the hair on my neck, too. She'll bathe me so my soft red coat covering my body is almost glowing. I want to act like a star tomorrow. That doesn't mean I'm not humble. I'm grateful for my natural gifts. What a shame they can't give me a prize for being the prettiest redhead, but I have to earn my awards. It makes them more special. Bentley, I hope you enjoy your first horse show. Elliot will be sure to show you proper manners. As you can see, he's so relaxed, he's practically falling asleep, said Charlene. Thank you so much for bringing me to the show today, Elliot. I have one big concern, Bentley stated. When I looked out the window, I didn't see any doggy snack bars. Did they hide them somewhere? Why would dogs come without snack bars? They mustn't have a dog on the committee making the rules. I think the people in charge should think of everyone, especially bulldogs. I didn't see any either, Bentley, but I think you can survive without snacking for one day. We'll be too busy to think about eating. Our job is to cheer for Charlene when she's jumping. When she's resting, we'll make sure she stays calm, said Elliot. Let's settle in on the bleachers. It's almost time for Charlene's class to start. Bentley, you're taking up the whole row, Elliot said, gently pushing him over. Stop being selfish and leave me some space so I'll be comfortable too. Elliot stared into Bentley's eyes. I'm sorry, Elliot. I must have been thinking like a bully. I'm an English bulldog, so I'm famous for being stubborn. The American bulldogs look kind of wimpy to me. Truthfully, I like being sturdy. Did you know I was named for an expensive English car called the Bentley? My former owners had one. When I rode in it, I felt important. When I stuck my head out the window and felt the wind against my face, the car was quite reliable and handsome, like me. Sorry if I sound a bit overconfident here. After all, I was pampered. I'm yawning, thinking of how boring my life was. All I did was go to the pet salon for grooming. I left in search of adventure. I think I found it. Charlene, you look gorgeous this morning with your adorable braids neatly done. I must give Eva a compliment when I see her, Mary said. She quickly tightened the blue ribbon at the end of her own braid. I'm glad we went to the warm-up ring to get you settled down before our class. You know, that's where we go to warm up your muscles so you can do your best in your class. Ah, you're tossing your head to show me you're ready for jumping, said Mary. Ladies and gentlemen, our first competitor is number 51, Charlene the Star, ridden by Mary Harris. You may remember they were green jumper champions last year, said the announcer. Wow, the jumps are higher than last year. I'll try not to rush, so we do our best. There are post and rail jumps and a water jump or Liverpool, just to mention a few. The Liverpool is the one with the blue plastic with water in it. The name Liverpool makes me think of a pool full of liver. Yuck. Elliot and Bentley were barking for us. It's great that Elliot is training Bentley well. I see Bentley and Elliot giving each other high fives. They're celebrating for us. The announcer said, ladies and gentlemen, Charlene the star had a clean round with no faults. Congratulations to Charlene and Mary. Great job, Charlene. You jumped like a star today, said Mary, patting Charlene's glossy red coat. Now we'll see if anyone else has a clear round. If they do, we'll have a jump. We'll have to jump again. It's called a jump off. The horse and rider with the fewer faults and the fastest time will be the winner. Charlene, you're prancing around like you're waiting for the judge's decision, Mary said. I'll bet you're impatient. Mary did a good job of guessing I was nervous about waiting. My beautiful coat is sweaty because I'm feeling anxious. The judges have made their decision. First place goes to number 51, Charlene the Star, ridden by Mary Harris, said the announcer. Mary said, Charlene, I'm so proud of you. I'm jumping up and down. You'll get extra peppermints tonight. Thinking of my peppermint candies makes me even happier. I don't mind working hard to earn them. All horses and riders entered in the open jumper stakes class. Please report to ring two immediately, said the announcer. Goody, open jumper stakes is the one where you win money. I love to help Mary earn money. Ladies and gentlemen, our next competitor is Charlene the Star, ridden by Mary Harris, said the announcer. It's a different course now. There's a gate jump and a jump with colorful barrels in front of it. There's also an oxer or spread jump. It looks like two jumps pushed together. Who's the stunning black horse standing by the rail? Yikes! I was so distracted I knocked the jump down. Ouch, it hurt my legs. I guess it doesn't pay to be gawking at the most handsome horse in the world when I should be working. I felt my heart thumping just looking at him. I wonder if this is love. I'm tossing my head and doing little stiff-legged bucks called crow hops because I'm mad at myself for not paying attention. Charlene, what on earth happened? What are you looking at? Asked Mary, stunned by Charlene's mistake. I see you've lowered your head. I'll bet you're embarrassed about what just occurred. We all make mistakes. We'll try to improve our performance next time. She patted Charlene's neck. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a tie between Charlene the Star, ridden by Mary Harris, and presiding judge, ridden by Kayla Moran. We'll have to jump off to determine the winner, said the announcer. Number 51, Charlene the Star, will jump first. I'll call the handsome black horse judge for short. I wonder which one of us will win. So far, we're perfect. We only have the oxer left to jump. Oops, I just touched one rail. It's bouncing around the brackets holding the poles. Oh, darn, it fell down. I tried my best, but nobody wins all the time. I'm still proud of my efforts. Mary's patting me on the neck, so I did a good job. We'll have to wait to see what presiding judge does. He's jumping now. Wow, he had a clean round, said Mary. Ladies and gentlemen, we have our winner. First place goes to number 103, presiding judge, ridden by Kayla Moran with no faults. Second prize is number 51, Charlene the Star, ridden by Mary Harris with a total of four faults, said the announcer. If I didn't concentrate on my work, I wouldn't be proud of myself. Otherwise, my peppermint candies might be restricted. I love the feeling that I tried my best, even if I didn't win. That's why I'm holding my head high. Now, I'll have lunch and take a short nap. Lunch and my nap were heavenly. I had time to rest my legs. Bentley is sitting outside making sure no one disturbs me, so I'll do amazingly well in my next class. There's a commotion outside. Bentley's barking. Is he trying to protect me from an intruder? No, I have a visitor. It's Judge. Butterflies are jumping in my tummy. Do I look my best? Do I have dust on me? I'll shake a little, just in case I have dust on me. But I'll be careful not to disturb my cute braids. How should I act when I have a gentleman caller? Hey, I thought I'd stop by just to say hello. I snuck in because Kayla forgot to tie me into the trailer. I guess she'll be looking for me soon. Anyway, I wanted to say how talented you are. I was surprised when you knocked down the gate in the stakes class. What happened? Judge asked. I crashed through the jump because I was staring at you. You're the handsomest horse I've ever seen. I wasn't paying attention to the jump, said Charlene, lowering her head and keeping her voice at a whisper. I've never seen a redhead as pretty as you either. I'd like to learn more about you. Maybe we'll become a couple. Wouldn't that be exciting? Asked Judge, not acting the least bit shy. I should go back to the trailer before Kayla puts out an alert. I like getting to know you better, too. Meanwhile, I'll look forward to competing against you again. Thanks for stopping by, Charlene said. Wow, that was exciting to have Judge come to visit. I think I tried to be composed on our secret date. I'd like to be perfectly calm like he is instead of always fretting about things. Charlene, we must get ready for our last class, the Open Jumper Classic. It will be difficult, but we'll both focus on doing our best, said Mary, backing Charlene out of the trailer. I watched Judge take the course. He did okay, but he had a refusal. That means he stopped at the jump. The refusal cost him 3 faults. I wonder if he was distracted thinking of our first date together. The announcer said, I'm next. Here we go. We finished the Oxer and the In-N-Out. So far, so good. Here's the water jump with the little picket fence in front of it. I'm building up some speed to avoid stepping in the water. I slipped a little, but I still didn't step in the water, thank goodness. There's one jump left. It's a post and rail with barrels in front of it. There are pretty flower boxes on the side, too. They look good enough to eat, but I can't think of that when I'm working. I remember what happened last time. Mary must be focusing on her work. She's not talking. Oh, I just touched the rail with my front foot, but it didn't fall. I hear Elliot and Bentley barking. I'll bet they're thrilled with our performance. Ladies and gentlemen, Charlene the Star and Mary Harris had no faults. That's amazing considering how challenging this course is, said the announcer. Mary's pleased. She's kissing Charlene's neck. Good job, Charlene, Mary whispered, hugging Charlene's neck. You're going to have a peppermint party tonight. Imagine a party where peppermints get top billing. I should get plenty of them after winning today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're pleased to announce that our open jumper champion today is Charlene the Star, ridden by Mary Harris, with a total of 13 points. Our reserve champion with 11 points is Presiding Judge, ridden by Kayla Moran. The reserve champion is the horse and rider with the second highest number of points. We certainly had a close competition today, said the announcer. Look at this beautiful trophy, Charlene. You should be proud, but there's always room for improvement. Staying focused on your work all the time would help. If you want to be the best in the state and win the high score award, you'll have to concentrate on doing your best. Mary's right about that, but she'd understand if she knew I was staring at Judge. I'm going to think about the good things that happened today, like my first date and my second championship. Imagine how excited I'd feel to win the high score award. And that's all we're reading today.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much, Jeannie, for reading Charlene the Star and Bentley Bulldog to us. And if people want to find out how the book ends, can you tell us where they can find the book?
Yes.
Read it.
Where they buy it. My books are, you can find Charlene and Bentley on Barnes & Noble, and they're on Amazon. They're in paperback and on Kindle. And you could also email me at deanie@dhdunn.tk if you want signed copies.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And tell us about your other books. I know you have four books total.
Yes, I do. Well, my first book is called Tales of Sweetbriar, and it's an award-winning autobiography that tells that proves that anything is possible if you persevere, because it's about overcoming obstacles. And then we have Charlie the Horse, and Charlie's Charlene's big brother, and by the way, and so he tells that story, and he has a lot of trouble focusing on his work at first. He'd rather munch on daffodils rather than going to the racetrack. And then Charlene the Star is the next one, and Charlene the Star is supposed to be a racehorse like Charlie, but she really doesn't like racing at all. So she has tantrums on the racetrack trying to tell her trainers that she doesn't like it. And then she finds something else that she's really good at. And
they,
then
they have personalities just like people.
Right. And then Charlene the Star and Hattie's Heroes is about the animals all decide that they need a new career. So they start a whole new career to help their friends. And they do a lot of exciting things, and it's all about friendship and teamwork and working together. And it's really funny because the animals all tell those stories.
Okay. Now, tell people where they can find you and your books online.
Well, they can go to my website. It's called childrensbookswithlifelessons.com. And you can buy the books from there, and you can read about some of the reviews, and you can find out a lot about each one of the books there.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Deanie, for reading Charlene the Star and Bentley Bulldog to us. I appreciate it very much, you coming on the show.
Oh, thank you for inviting us.
Okay.
Charlene and I and Bentley were all happy to join in on the fun. Thank
you
very much.
It was fun, wasn't it?
It was.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, thank you. All right, next we have The Passion Surprise, The Passover Surprise by Janet Ruth Heller. Hi, Janet. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for inviting me.
I'm so glad. This is your second trip here, and I want you to go ahead and tell us about The Passover Surprise.
The Passover Surprise is a middle grade fiction chapter book. My story concerns an American family around 1960. Lisa and her little brother John enjoy collecting stamps, but when their father holds a contest to decide which child will get a new, large stamp album, Lisa has to solve a very difficult problem. The Passover Surprise includes details about the early stages of the Civil Rights Movement and about Jewish soldiers' experiences during World War II. The Passover Surprise also portrays a Jewish family celebrating Sabbath and Passover. Parents and teachers can use the discussion guide to talk about issues raised in the book with their children and students. These issues include sibling rivalry, bullying, discrimination, and Jewish traditions.
Go ahead.
I'm Janet Ruth Heller, and I'm going to read the first two chapters of my book, The Passover Surprise. Chapter 1 is entitled The Contest. I longed for the stamp album. Huge and bright blue, it rested on a shelf high above my head in Dad's study. It had spaces for thousands of stamps from around the world, unlike my tiny green book, which was nearly full. Dad had told us kids, Lisa and John, let's have a contest. The one who spends the most time on stamps in March will win the large album. My father had started collecting with Grandpa Joe as a little boy, and Dad wanted to pass this fun hobby on to us. I spent every spare minute after school and during weekends working on my green book of stamps. I rushed home from Girl Scout meetings and swim team practice. I even gave up my favorite TV shows, Sky King and Father Knows Best. But I could tell that my kid brother John also wanted the new album. He sat across from me at the family room table and worked on his own green book. He also gave up most TV for March. Each day we wrote down on Dad's chart the number of hours and minutes that we had spent on stamps, usually at least 3 hours. We both concentrated hard so that we would not make mistakes, like putting a German stamp on the page for Russian ones. You could almost hear our brains whirring. Old stamps are worth a lot of money, so we wore rubber gloves to avoid damaging the paper. Dad owns a 1920 stamp from Lebanon that is worth $100. Some stamps have the head of a king or queen. For example, England and Canada often feature Queen Elizabeth II, all in red or blue. Stamps from the United States have presidents like Lincoln and Washington. But Hungary shows butterflies spreading their wings, and African countries show gorillas and elephants in the jungle. I love animals, so these are my favorites. Our books organize stamps by the country and the time period. The black and white pages also separate large stamps from small ones. So John and I identified the nation, year, and size of each item. Then we used tweezers to gently move the paper squares and rectangles around. We carefully attached hinges to the backs of stamps and pasted each hinge into the space with the same picture in our albums. We were so busy that the month passed quickly. The last day of March arrived, the day when Dad would announce his decision. I hoped that I would win the prize. John and I had worked equally hard on our collections. How would my father make his choice? There was only one blue album, but two children wanted it and deserved it. When Dad came home from teaching math at Pine Grove College, we both ran to greet him. We shouted, "Who gets the new album, Dad?" He laughed, "Give me a chance to get settled, and I'll tell you." John and I started a game of tag while Dad hung up his coat. I tagged John in the hallway and saw Dad take off his tie. I ran toward the living room as Dad put his briefcase full of papers to grade next to his desk. John caught me quickly. Racing to the kitchen, we noticed Dad cutting vegetables and putting hamburgers in a pan. He usually made dinner because Mom worked late. Finally, Dad took the big blue album down from the high shelf in his study. Then he returned to the family room. Panting, we stopped playing tag and sat on the couch, John on Dad's right and me on Dad's left. "Both of you have really worked hard on stamps." He stopped and looked at us kids. "But I've decided to give the album to you, Jonathan, because even though you're only 9, you put in as much time and energy as your older sister did." Dad handed the prize to John and congratulated him. "Whoopee!" my little brother yelled. "Let's work on my new book now, Dad." I felt like I'd been hit by a truck. Chapter 2 is entitled A Grown-Up Talk with Mom. I ran to my room, banged the door shut, and collapsed on my bed. The contest was not fair. John and I had worked equally hard, so why couldn't we both win something? Or why couldn't we share the large album? My tears burned like lava from a volcano. Finally, I stopped crying and tried to do my school homework. But my mind kept wandering away from the science chapter about forests. There were lots of questions in my textbook. What did the forests of the United States look like in 1500? Why did European settlers cut down trees? What causes forest fires? But my own problems took up all the space in my brain. I wanted that blue album. My head was on fire. When Mom came home from her law office, I heard her talking to John and Dad. "Great to see you two working on stamps together. Where's Lisa?" "She's mad because I won the big stamp album," John complained. "So she went to her room and slammed the door." Mom came to my room. "Can I come in?" "Guess so." I was relieved to have someone to talk to. "I worked very hard, but I lost the contest. I gave up my favorite programs. I even helped John read some of the hard words in his album. I never want to collect stamps again. The TV shows are wrong. Fathers don't always know best. Dad is mean. He doesn't love me." Mom hugged me. "I will talk to your father tonight. I also think that you need to tell him how you feel."
"He won't understand me. He doesn't care."
Mom asked, "How do you handle conflict at school?"
"You mean a fight? I try to talk to the other kid."
"So you can get results when you talk to people, right?"
"Sometimes," I admitted. I was your age, I felt just like you, Mom pointed to me. I thought that adults wouldn't listen to my ideas and feelings. I bottled everything up inside. Often I cried in my room, all alone. Did anybody help you? I went to visit Aunt Nancy in Arizona. You remember your great aunt? She could tell that I was angry and sad. She asked me what was wrong. I told her about Jake, the bully at school, who made fun of me for being chubby and pushed me down. Were you really chubby, Mom? I looked like a pumpkin. Mom stretched her arms out to show how large she was. Also, I told Aunt Nancy that my parents were saving money for my older brother to go to college, but not saving money for my education. That really angered me. What did Great Aunt Nancy do? Mom smiled. She listened carefully while I explained my problems. She told me that Rabbi Hillel once said, "If I am not for myself, then who will help me? But if I'm too self-centered, then what am I? And if not now, when will I take action?" Aunt Nancy urged me to tell my teachers about the bully and to talk to my parents about wanting to go to college and become a lawyer. Did you take her advice? Aunt Nancy was the first woman in our family to go to graduate school. She taught history at Arizona State University. I respected her and took her advice. Did the bully leave you alone? Well, it took a while. First, I told my teacher, Mrs. Perez, that Jake was calling me names like Fatso and Tub of Lard, pushing or hitting me every day during recess and slapping me on the bus. Then she watched Jake carefully and kept him after school if she heard him make fun of me or saw him attack me. Sometimes she sent Jake to the principal's office. After 3 months, Jake finally left me alone. Wow, that's great. What a victory. Mom grinned. I felt much better, and that gave me the courage to talk to my parents about saving money for college. The world was changing in the 1940s, and more women were going to college. My parents didn't realize how much I wanted my own career. When they were young, girls from poor families focused on finding a job and getting married. Did your family pay for college? I made an agreement with your Grandma Esther and Grandpa David. If I worked during the summers and after school to save money, they promised to put aside money from their salaries for me. I got a job operating an elevator at Otto's department store. In those days, most elevators were not automatic, so someone had to open the door and stop at different floors. I attended state universities because they cost less. I also got scholarships that covered some of my fees and paid for my books. It was a long haul. College is more important than a stamp album, I confessed. But I really wanted the prize. Yes, it's an important challenge for you. How can I convince Dad that he's not being fair? It felt strange to talk to Mom like an adult. Well, people listen best when we explain what we need and feel, rather than attacking them. So after your grandpa had just eaten a big piece of grandma's chocolate cake, I told my parents, "I often dream that I'm in college and studying law. This is my goal." I thought so hard that my head felt as though it would explode. So I need to tell Dad how sad I am and how much I wanted that stamp album? Right, but you need to stay calm. Maybe wait a day or two until your anger and hurt have cooled down a little. And I'm going to stop here.
Okay. Wow, Janet. Another nice story. Can you tell people where they can find the Passover Surprise if they want to find out how it ends? Buy it and actually buy your other books as well.
Okay. I do have another children's book. It's called How the Moon Regained Her Shape, and it's won four national awards. It's published by Arbordale.
Mm-hmm.
How the Moon Regained Her Shape is a legend that explains why the moon changes shape and helps children deal with bullies. In my book, the sun insults the moon, and the moon feels so badly hurt that she shrinks. The moon turns to her comet friends in the sky and her many friends on Earth, and they comfort her. Her friends include rabbits and Native Americans. Then she regains her full shape, happiness, and self-esteem. An educational appendix gives advice about bullying, scientific information about the moon, and ideas for related activities for children. And people can purchase my books from Arbordale Publishing and Fictive Press, my publishers. You can also order my books at your local bookstore or online from Lulu, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or whatever your favorite online market is. My books are available in hardback, paperback, and ebook editions. And my book about bullying is also available in Spanish.
Okay. Now, you have the three books, right?
I also have books for adults, but this is a program about books for children. So,
sure. Yeah. Well, you can mention the titles of them. Go ahead, mention.
Well, I have three poetry books for adults, Exodus, mm-hmm. Traffic Stop, and Folk Concert, Changing Times. I also have a scholarly book for people who are interested in literature and literary criticism. It's called Coleridge, Lamb, Hazlitt, and the Reader of Drama.
Okay. Now, I'm sorry I asked you the questions backwards. I realized I did that after. all right, now tell people where they can find you and your books online.
Okay, my website is http://www.janetruthheller.com.
Okay, and are you on any other sites?
Oh, I'm on a lot of sites. My publishers have pages for my books. The National Council of Teachers of English has my profile. I'm on LinkedIn, Facebook, Google Plus, just about anywhere you can find information about me.
Okay, and I know that Deanie Humphreys Dunn also is on Facebook and Twitter and other places as well. Okay, well, thank you, Janet, for being here and reading the Passover Surprise to us.
Well, thank you for this opportunity to share my work.
Oh, I'm so glad you could make it. You know, we've been talking on and off about this, I think, for about a couple months now, so I'm glad we could fit it in. I really appreciate you being here today.
Thanks for inviting me.
You're welcome. Okay, our time is up for today. I'm J.D. Holliday, and you can find me, my books, and upcoming shows, and an index of all my shows at jdholliday.blogspot.com. Please check out our upcoming shows at the World of Ink Network here at Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for being here and listening. Bye now.
So keep on reading that book. This book's gonna be a good book.